everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And we're really excited today. We're actually recording this podcast on New Year's Day. We're not sure when it's going to air, but it is the beginning of 2020, a new decade. Very exciting. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and I'm joined for, we have the return of the On Friendship series that we do. And so Dr. Elisa Lucas is here.
Hello, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Plus, I'm sure 4 or 5 weeks when this comes out. Yeah.
Yes, are you excited to start a whole new decade?
Yes. It's kind of crazy to think that, you know, people are like, what was it like in 2010 to 2019? Like, people are doing, like, photos, and, you know, my students who do, like, they're 10 and now they're 20, like, that's a huge difference. There is a huge difference between me 2010 and me 2019. But I did do it with my cat. I've had a cat for 10 years, my first pet, so that's kind of crazy to think. But I am excited. I always like fresh starts and a chance to try and do better.
Yeah, it is. You could do kind of look back. And I kind of agree with you. Like, I look back 2010. I don't feel like I've had as much change as certainly since, if you were looking at 2000 to 2010.
Yeah,
that would be a way bigger change than 2010. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I wasn't podcasting then.
Yeah,
I wasn't.
No, me either.
Doing movies then. I wasn't. A lot of the big things that take up most of my time, I wasn't doing in 2010. I hadn't done an open water swim in 2010.
There's a lot of things. Do change. I will say though that in 2010, I had my first teaching job outside of my PhD schooling. So for the last decade, I have been a professor. So that's crazy to think too. Yeah. 10 years, good gravy.
I know. What I can't believe is that in March will be 15 years since I came home from my mission for my church.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And that's crazy to me. I can't believe it because that does not feel like that long ago.
I know, time is really strange to me now that it's like, do birthdays matter? Yeah. Time goes by fast. I'm like, oh my goodness.
I mean,
but birthdays do matter for today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I graduated from grad school in 2008.
Wow.
So it's been over a decade since I was in a kind of regular schooling, which, weirds me out. I can't believe that's true.
It's been a long time since I've been a student per se.
Yeah.
I don't know if I missed the days.
I could have done a whole elementary to high school in the time
I graduated. The thing is, like, this decade changes. I'm just like, oh, I'm just a boring adult.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. Congrats. Yeah, I think that's the difference between like single people and married people with kids is is that, you know, like you can look back at certain times and be like, it feels more concrete because it's like, oh, I had a baby in 2010 and now I have a 10-year-old. Like that feels so much more sort of concrete of a thing that's changed. You know what I mean?
I agree, and I know there will be some people listening who will not agree with what I'm about to say, but those that love their pets know that 10 years ago, I got my baby, Rooney.
Yeah.
She's a furry 10-year-old cat. I mean, I know it's not the same. All she does is sleep every day. I mean, she doesn't earn her keep. She doesn't do anything that I can brag about online.
To be cute and cuddly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's really kind of perfect because not only today are we talking about one of my favorite Hallmark movies, certainly of recent years for sure, but also it's a movie about looking forward 10 years into the future.
Ooh, and trying to control. You planned this, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm on to and, you.
And trying to control every last outcome of what's going to happen. And
yeah.
So we are talking about The Birthday Wish. This premiered in Winterfest season, which we are in now for Hallmark. And this was in 2017. It's written by Julie Sherman Wolfe, who's a friend of the podcast. And she's a wonderful writer. And I know in one of my interviews with her, she said that she felt like this was her strongest work for Hallmark that she had done. That was her favorite. So
cool. Yeah.
And she did, we'll talk this last Christmas, we reviewed one of her movies, The Christmas Club.
Oh yeah.
That's also Julie Sherman Wolfe. And
I like her. I just was like thinking about my overall like viewing of movies with you and definitely like the one we're going to talk about today better.
I mean, she does a really good job though of bringing in the funny, making things you know, something like the ho-ho hot dogs or know, just something that would be kind of a boring scene, but adding like a funny detail I think to it and elevating whatever she's given to do. And I just love this movie. I think that first of all, the cast is very strong. I think Luke McFarlane and Jesse Schramm are two of the better actors that Hallmark has in their kind of stable of talent. I think they have really nice chemistry together. And we'll talk about it more, but I just love the whole concept of, you know, it's one thing to do like an It's a Wonderful Life kind of a thing or a Family Man kind of a thing where you get to see an alternate reality of your life. And those are good and fun and I enjoy them. But I think this is such a clever idea of just getting like a half a second, just this little glimpse,
it's
you know,
like a touch of Freaky Friday.
yeah. And I thought that was very clever. And and so, and I think this definitely has one of the most, I don't know, kind of epic wrong guys too. And we'll talk about it too. But I really, really like this one for a lot of reasons. And so I guess overall thoughts, what was your overall thoughts about this movie?
Well, I think it's interesting in this idea of looking ahead. I think, you know, it being the new year now, it's something that we all do, like what kind of goals do we want to achieve? And and Gwen's character is certainly someone who's had these ideas in mind for a lot longer. And I think we would all maybe wonder, like, if someone came to you and said you could go through what she went through, which is like seeing just a snapshot of what her future is like, would you want to? And I think that a lot of us might. And so I think, you know, it's like, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, if I played the lottery, what would I do with the money? You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like a parlor game, if you will. And I think that we want to have some level of certainty and hope in our life. And I think that's what this movie gets at with that. But I have major concerns with Alex. And I have a couple thoughts for Gwen as well, but I really enjoyed it. I guess Freaky Friday isn't the right idea, but you know what I mean, like the movies that kind of like, I mean, it's fun, it's funny, and it's like, how does that play, how does being able to see our future play with the idea of how we might behave presently? And so I really like that. I think that was really cute.
But it's almost more sort of like a Family Man kind of situation, you know, where like he gets to see an alternate version of what his life could be like. Yeah. Except for this, it's just this little tiny, he's not, because the thing about the Family Man, that I really like the Family Man type stories, but it's always a little bit awkward because you're spending all this time building up this relationship that's an illusion. Like the children aren't really there.
Yeah.
They're not really real.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. Whereas this, it's a little less awkward in that sense.
Yeah.
As far as the structure, because it's just a, you know, just a little glimpse of what it could be like. And so let's get started. So it starts out with seeing them working together. And this is part of the reason why I thought this worked for On Friendship, because they start out as colleagues and they are able to kind of bounce stuff off of each other. Mm-hmm. And they're both directors of commercials. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't think they need the extra shot. She thinks, oh, they need the extra shot. And so they obviously, I think, collaborate pretty well together in their work environment. It starts off. And then it kind of evolves from there.
Well, and I think that's, I like that part of it too, because I think that's one of the topics I want to do for my podcast this year, is looking at workplace friendships. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when you think about it, like, we probably all have someone that's like our good friend at work. Yeah. And you even see in a scene later where all the people who work together go out to eat and have trivia. And sometimes that's, we spend so much time at work. It's like the majority of our life is spent at work. Don't we want to work with people who we enjoy, but we can also work together well with, like, that we can depend on them. We're doing our best work. And I think we really need to nurture those kinds of relationships. And I know that there's probably many people, including myself, who are listening, who have had coworkers that you're like, ugh, I would never spend an extra second with them.
Yeah.
That guy came later in the movie. But
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But I really enjoy that. This idea is like, not necessarily friends per se, but in workplace relationships, you have to have some qualities of friendship, right? Like being dependable, being able to talk, being able to enjoy your time together. I think that's really important for the workplace.
Yeah. I mean, I do believe that I could be doing the most boring, most, you know, not interesting assignment. And if I was working with nice people, mm-hmm. I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, it's exponentially better.
Yeah, but I could be doing the most like gratifying, most intellectually stimulating kind of activity, and if I'm working with horrible people, it makes such a huge difference.
It's tainted.
Yeah, it is. It makes such a huge difference, and I mean, I know because I was in that kind of toxic work situation for 3 years, and it was a bad thing. It was very bad. And so it definitely makes a huge difference. I also just, I loved little details in this movie. Like I loved the kind of the slightly diva-ish, I don't know what his role in the structure of this commercial shoot was, but the guy with kind of the red hair.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of when they went to dinner together as like a group.
Yeah, he was so funny though, because Cardi Wong, the assistant guy, who's like gaffer or whatever, the red hair guy, he was just like bossing him around, you know, like I think I wanted a latte, you know, like I don't know. Oh, just that whole dynamic was really funny to me.
Yeah, he was like really enjoying sort of bossing people around, and like there was a Froyo truck to thank them for their work, and the gaffer guy's like woohoo, and the redhead guy's like, I like coffee with my Froyo. Yeah. Like, so rude. Yeah. But some of it is like, it seemed more good natured, but then also kind of razzing them.
Yeah. And I don't know, it just made me laugh. And I think that's what Julie does so well, is that she makes her scripts, they have little bits of humor that's just kind of tucked in there. Yeah. that you know, it's a side, she uses her side characters pretty well, and, mm-hmm. and just these, it just makes them feel, it just makes the experience satisfying, I think.
Yeah, and I particularly liked the beginning of this movie, because that's sort of been one of the things that I've talked about with all the On Friendship movies, was, were they actually friends, or was it, like, set up to be romantic in the beginning, you know? And as someone, I'm like, yeah, obviously friendship can lead to romance, but also I think one of the movies that I enjoyed the most, The Country Wedding, was because they truly seemed like friends, like platonic friends that then fell in love with each other. Yeah. And that's what I appreciated about that movie. And this particular movie, what I like is how they continue to build and maintain their friendship and working relationship as we see a series of commercials being made. Right. So, you know, then there's a cookie one where they have to deal with the model who doesn't want to eat the cookie. And then Gwen's like, hey, it's a protein cookie. That was funny. And then it's like the dogs. And then it's like all these different types of commercials and that they're working together. And I think with each one, they learn a little bit more about each other, which is exactly what friendship is, right? That you build it over time, right?
Well, and also I appreciate that she's like really good at her job and she's not, I don't know, just kind of, they've gotten better at this over the years, but the whole idea that you just kind of will give up everything just because you go home and find a man kind of a thing. And I like this. And what's interesting is, so she expects her boyfriend to propose to her. And the thing is interesting, I feel like, is that it's not because she's, I think, especially in love with him. Because she had a plan and a list that she made when she was after her dad died. She made a list, a plan for her life, and on that plan was that she was supposed to get engaged by 30. And I think that her, like, obviously we'll talk about Alex is kind of ridiculous, but the thing about it, I give him a little bit of a pass because because when they started their relationship, they were on the same page. They had created a plan together. Now she's the one that's changed, and his problem, and it's exaggerated for comedy, but his problem is that he refuses to communicate with her about any kind of change of the plans, and he is not listening at all to her and her needs and her body signals and everything that's happening. But she's the one that's changed. He's the one that stayed the same, and expected his relationship that they had agreed on together, that's what was happening, right? So I don't know. It's kind of interesting because you never felt that they were really in love.
No, it just felt like another step in the process. I have to be honest. As soon as he hit the screen and I was like, this is her boyfriend, I was like, ugh! I was like, how would you? Okay. And I'm basing it on stereotypes of like his behaviors and things like that first, like 30 seconds where I was like, why would you ever expect that he would propose to you? And one of the things, there are two thoughts that I had during this part of the movie, right? Number one was like, girl, you can, if you want to get married, you can ask him, right? Like I was like, you know, like the sitting around or that it has to happen by this time. And I think we have like societal pressure that things need to happen in a certain order and by a certain time. And I saw something online. I can't tell you where I saw this from, but ever since I heard it or saw it, read it, I was like, this makes a lot of sense. It's like when you make popcorn, not all the corn pops at the same time. And so our time will come, but she's like so hell bent on it being by the time she's 30, that it's almost like I thought she was kind of rude about them going out to dinner one night was it Christmas Eve, I think? And then her birthday was going to be the next week, right?
For New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Oh, that's right. Excuse me. And so it was like, she's like digging through all the food expecting the ring. And so I was kind of like, that's disingenuous. Like, that's not for the right reasons. Like, and so then you're going to be ultimately disappointed, like horribly disappointed, because it's not being done now. It's not being done in the way that you want. And it's like, she's trying to control everything. And I was like, you just need to relax. Then the other part of me is like, how many people have like grown up thinking about how they'll be proposed to? And then I was like, well, I feel like because it's like 30, like there's more pressure, but part of me is like, well, yeah, do people want that kind of proposal? Like, I don't want to accidentally drink my engagement ring. Yeah. As I choke.
I know. When they use food, it's a little...
She was digging scary. Everything. She's like destroying food. And the fact that he didn't pick up on that she's looking for a ring, I also was like, they're so wrong for each other.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to push a relationship to check a like an item off your list, right? Yeah. Your to-do list by 30. I was like, oh, you're not going to be... Because what if he did propose? Like, what if that was the movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, if she looked ahead to 10 years, I don't think they'd be very happy.
No.
Right? So,
well, and you just see little differences in the relationship between her and David. I always just think of in these movies, I always just think of them as the actors' names.
I understand.
So I'm like, yeah, her and Luke. But anyway, and then I do think that Marcus Grosner playing Alex, I think he does a good job with the part.
Yeah, because I hated him. Good job, buddy. Good job.
But I think that I think that sometimes these wrong guys, I think that they, again, I can kind of see where he's coming from as far as his base behaviors. But then I think he does some of the other stuff in just enough way that it's kind of funny to me. Like,
yeah,
he's a little over the top.
He does a great job, but my major problem with him is that, to me, it's like, she was with him for 3 years. Like, why would she think that he would propose to her? Because his behaviors, in which we see in the movie, would say that he doesn't know his partner, like sending her gifts that he didn't think out. Like, he doesn't listen to her. He's doesn't want to have conversations with. And I was just like, again, why would you want to be with him?
But you can't really 100% blame him, because again, they've been together for 3 years.
Well, that's what I mean.
This behavior. I know this behavior up until now has evidently been acceptable. And so all of a sudden she's the one that's changed, and he's going off of what has been for 3 years. But you can tell just the difference in their relationship, because, and I'm kind of glad that it had been 3 years, because you get into lazy kind of routines with people in your family and in your life. And so that, I think, made it a tiny bit more believable as well.
But
you look at it, whereas her and Dave, they know deep cut Journey songs and just like stuff like that, where she can't talk about stuff like that with Alex. And like, they have those little things in common.
I think that's the huge thing, is like that with Alex and Gwen, it doesn't even seem like they like each other. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know anything about her. She thinks that he's going to be different somehow. And it makes me question her decision-making skills and being in the relationship to begin with, right? Yeah. Like, and you say, you know, she's changed. And I think, like, we might not see that change, and that it's an implication of them being together for 3 years and then her really wanting to have this engagement happen. But I'm like, what did you like about him in the first place? Is it because he's attractive? He is high status. He's,
I think she liked him at the beginning because he and her had the same plan, and she's the person that relies on plans. They had this plan that they were going to go to LA and they're going to become famous directors. And then I guess eventually get married or whatever. But it kind of felt like, okay, so they started this relationship, I guess, when she was 27. Mm-hmm. So probably not as focused on marriage, you know, at that point, probably really pretty career focused. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as it gets closer to this deadline that she had set on her list, although yeah. she's starting to get more nervous, but I think that's what they had in common is the supposed,
yeah. that's a good point. Over and over
again that like, this is the plan. This is our plan. This is what we were going to take over the world.
Yeah. With the plan. That's a good point. But like, to me, I'm like, I just wonder, and now, you know, I'm looking back, like I'm Monday morning quarterbacking, obviously, but it's kind of like that's what they had in common was their career focus and the LA focus. But is that enough? Right. No. Like clearly it wasn't. Like if you can't even figure out, like he got, when he gave her that ring.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I was like, is it a mood ring? Is it an emoji ring? And he's like, it's an eye ring.
Props to the prop department because they did a good job with that ring.
And then she was wearing it. I was like, I think I might have refused.
Yeah, that was really kudos. Funny.
I was like, why did you think this is the gift that he picked out? And it's like, obviously, right? Because I think, though, there is a level of that, you know, when he goes to LA to see about becoming an anchor, then he becomes an action. He gets like a two-line part in an action movie. Now he wants to be an actor in action movies. And to me, there's just a level of superficial kind of like, he's just interested in money and status. And that's what the flowers and that's what the purse mm-hmm. and that's what the mood ring, eye watch thing.
Yeah.
No, eye ring.
Yeah, it's really interesting because the whole time that she wants to have, she wants to take this seriously and yeah. have like a serious discussion, but he keeps putting it off.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes his fault. Like a lot of the stuff yeah. I will give him a little bit of a pass on, but when he's not willing to, when he's not willing to talk to her yeah. and he's the yeah. communication, I yeah. don't give him a pass on because yeah. that
yeah I mean I fair I just think that he's kind of what's the word I don't know how to say it nicely he's kind of a dud but yeah, you know yeah. what I mean like
so someone... he is a pretentious
yeah exactly yeah. okay thank you but yeah you're right like she's expecting things and we shouldn't have expectations for people that haven't been communicated. Like we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, it's kind of.
But she's an interesting person because, so she sets this. So she obviously experiences this trauma when she's a young lady, and with her dad dying, and she is so insecure about. Something like that happening again. Mm-hmm. And I can believe that she almost sort of got into this relationship knowing that it wasn't mm-hmm. going to, you know, like wasn't yeah. going to be the relationship because it was kind of safe
yeah,
in a way. And they had the plan
yeah.
Because, you know, because when you really fall in love with somebody that's real, that's very vulnerable. And I don't know, like even just her whole thing with her birthday. So yeah. Her birthday is a week after New Year's. Mm-hmm. And so in order for, she's like, oh, at the beginning they asked, oh, isn't everybody just tired, partied out, whatever. And she says, well, that's why I have to make it extra epic at my birthday party so that people will want to come.
Yeah.
And even that shows, I think, a certain degree of kind of insecurity about her friends and the people in her life. And that she, and I don't know, that she doesn't just sort of trust that the people that I have in my life, she's even trying to control that part of it.
Yeah. You know? I just think she's so concerned about controlling everything around her, because mm-hmm. I'm sure that she felt out of control when her father passed away.
Yeah.
And so if you control every aspect of your life, then things are going to happen exactly how you want. But unfortunately, that's not how life works. You can have everything planned down to the crossing the T's, down the I's, into the last second, and things can completely, you know, life comes at you, and it can change for good or bad, or sometimes it changes and it's just mundane, but, you know, it's, we can't 100% control everything. And so I think that's, there is a level of, not that he's controlling, but like that there is that plan, so that they're more logical in that sense. They're more focused on this like practical aspect of it. Whereas I think Dave's character is much more like laid back and, you know, is willing to see how things go. Like, he just doesn't seem like he's wound up too tight.
yeah, exactly.
And I think a lot of it is because of her trauma, right? Yeah. Is that, is, and in some ways, she's never going to have anything real that's really deep until she can get beyond that. And yeah. She doesn't have anything deep with Alex.
You even have that with that whole scene with her mom and making the cake, and, you know, when she's talking with her mom about, you know, her life and her thing, and you know, that she's just, it's just obvious that she is so afraid to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and she's been spending all of this time with Alex doing all of the stuff that she doesn't particularly enjoy. Like, yeah. I think that she likes art and she likes stuff like that, but it wouldn't be in her choice. Yeah. But, you know, it's just an interesting thing. So she does all of these things that aren't really, you know, that fulfilling for her. I think she feels like, well, if I just had a birthday with me and her BFF throughout the movie, then mm-hmm. that would somehow be some kind of failure or whatever. Whereas yeah. like, if only one person showed up to my party and it was my best friend and we had yeah. a wonderful time together, that's not a failure. That's just what happens. So she's got to throw this huge party. And so it's an interesting, I like it. I think it's good. And I think that Jesse does a really good job of kind of portraying her character in a way that's easy to relate with.
She's so concerned about quantity over quality, or it's like Facebook likes over, you know, it's kind of like it's like just superficial, but you can tell because that she's changing, that she's looking for more, and maybe the family man aspect, or the It's a Wonderful Life aspect of this movie is where then she really starts to make movement in terms of change, because she's seen a glimpse. She's seen a sliver of life.
So what happens is that Dave comes over and he's just going to leave. He gets a giant cookie. And
a protein cookie. Yeah.
And he's just going to leave it there on the front of the door because she's got her big party that night. And but she is just depressed because Alex didn't ask her when they were at the fancy restaurant that everybody asks. And and he was just pretty rude. And so she's feeling depressed. And so she says, hey, I'm just going to leave the party. It's her party, but she's going to leave. And and so she's there, and they have kind of a nice sort of interaction, and they kind of decide there that they're friends.
Yeah.
And I think that's a kind of an important moment, because they, you know, had just been calling. So this is where it kind of, they decide, oh, well, we're friends. And then he lights the match on the cookie, and then she makes a wish, and she tells him the wish, and she says, I wish I could see what my life would be like in 10 years. Mm. And he says, well, why would you want to know that? Is it not knowing more fun? And
I guess sometimes,
I mean, that's their dynamic that makes them different and makes them such a good match. And I mean, what about you? If you could just see a flash of your life in 10 years. Would you want to? Would you take that?
You know, as I was saying earlier, sometimes that can be like a fun parlor game. I mean, people go and get like palms read, tarot cards, and there's varying levels of how people view that as something serious or not, or more entertainment based. And I think that there is a level of uncertainty that we do not enjoy in our lives that by just seeing, I think seeing just a glimpse is interesting because it's not a whole lot of context or meaning. Mm-hmm. And so you're interpreting it for what it is, but it could be something completely different. Yeah. And so some ways I think it's dangerous to know those things, because if she interpreted it wrong, then she was basing all of her present actions on this glimpse for 10 years. And, or at first she was trying to hide from it because it wasn't part of her plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm afraid I would see myself in 10 years and be like, yep, I'm still, still about the same. Oh, well. I mean, she's lucky, I guess, that she didn't see in 10 years, and who knows, her mom could die. You know, we just don't know like what's going to happen. But in this case, she basically, I thought the whole sequence when she goes, she wakes up and she is, her sight is all blurry. And so she goes to the optometrist, and I thought each of these scenes in the optometrist were funny.
Yeah.
They were well done. And she looks into the thing at the eye doctor, and all of a sudden she sees this glimpse of her, of I guess her life, you know, in 10 years. Yeah. There's a minivan and there's three kids, and there's surprise, there's Dave there with, I mean, can you imagine anything cuter than Luke McFarlane with that monkey hat? I mean,
it was pretty cute.
Never was a monkey hat so sexy as McFarlane. I think we can say for sure.
I don't know. Who was that guy I liked from the Christmas movies we watched that I didn't know who he was? Pavey?
Ryan Pavey.
Okay, well, maybe we'll have to do a comparison.
I don't, if Ryan Pavey was wearing a monkey hat, I think that they're both very attractive gentlemen, so who knows.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But it was just so cute, and and so, and then there's a thing about her being allergic to that. Did he try to poison her with macadamia nuts and everything? And she's, of course, shocked and doesn't know what to make of it. And it's so then that kind of really gets the plot going.
And I have to say, when she first woke up and her vision was unclear, I was like, does this mean that she's 37 and her eyes are going bad? Yeah. I really was doing like the Freaky Friday kind of thing. Like, I was like, but I thought it was really cute because if she has to go to the eye doctor so she can see clearly. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh snap.
Yeah, it was clever.
But then it's like, it's not necessarily the plan that she's thought of. It's a, it's a different plan. And how can it be this colleague, someone that she has just been friends with when she's waiting for Alex to propose? And so I think she's like, no, she doesn't want to be around him. She's trying to figure out if she's allergic to macadamia nuts.
Yeah. Well, and I love later on in the movie when she goes back to the optometrist and the, you know, those letters that they have on the wall at the optometrist, and then it just spells Dave in big block letters.
That and then so she funny. Looks at it again without it. She's like, oh, wait. And then she looks at it with it.
Dave. Like, instead of the normal, like, LM, whatever it is, usually. That's so funny. That was very funny. And so she's trying to, like, prove that, oh, this vision is inaccurate. It's not correct. And so she goes to the set, craft services. She's eating some macadamia nuts. And she ends up getting this rash all over. And she can't go to the party with Alex.
Oh, darn.
And so then Dave shows up, and I think that whole card that he, with like the drawing of the sad macadamia nut.
I was so he got her soup. Yeah, and even a little drawing in there was like, sorry. It was like, he's way more thoughtful. Like, he actually takes the conversations and interactions they've had and takes in the information and uses it to think about ways in which he can be friends to her or communicate with her in a better way. Like, the protein cookie was a callback to her doing, like, telling the model that it was a protein cookie. It was cute. It was funny.
He's listening. He really is listening, unlike Alex. And
I think Alex just wants to listen to himself, because there was a scene, and I know you gave him a pass before, and, like, I agree, but, like, remember when they're in the kitchen, she's trying to make him dinner, and there's, like, this giant photograph of him, and he's I look really handsome, and it's like, what are you even really doing? What are you doing, buddy?
But he says, it's really cute. I guess it's in this one, actually, that they talk about being friends more than the other one. But he says, I don't know if we are good enough friends for hydrocortisone. He says, you don't think we are friends? You brought me hot soup on a cold winter night. You're in. Aww. And so that's really cute little thing. It's almost like he's so freaking charming that despite her being like, I'm not going to let this vision come true, she can't control herself.
She can't stop it. That's the thing. She needs to just relax. And I think that her friend tries to help her do that by, you know, because Alex needs her to make some video for him and doesn't even take into account that it's the weekend and she has other things when he's away.
Yeah.
And she has plans to go shopping with her friend. And I like that the friend still convinces her to go.
I did too.
And it takes her to that restaurant where all her coworkers are to eat food, mozzarella sticks, and like places that she usually doesn't go with Alex, and to do trivia, and, you know, like, he seemed to be someone's a little bit more low key, but has been doing all these things because maybe that's part of the process of obtaining this husband and Alex.
Well, right? And her mom says to her, I wanted you to know you can take care of yourself even if the unexpected happens, and you're doing that. And so that, I think, it's an interesting, again, it all goes back to this trauma that she had when she was like 12 or 13.
I don't remember her age, but
Something like that. And so she decides, she tells Alex, I want to talk about our future. And he says, well, we can't do it here. And she's like, why? We're at a table for two. Why can't we? And he's like, oh, well, let's do it tomorrow because at the art gallery, and let's just try to have a nice time. And she says, why wouldn't talking about her future be a nice time? Mm-hmm. And so, which I think is a very telling sequence. Yeah. And he says, oh, well, I'm just waiting for the perfect moment. We need to do it right. And he says, we'll be the couple that everyone else wants to be.
Exactly. It's a little bit too on the surface level, but also he's like, I'm waiting for the perfect time. You had New Year's Eve at that crazy restaurant and then her birthday party. What else? I mean, what's the perfect moment then? For him, there is no perfect moment because he's more concerned about himself.
Well, and the whole idea that why isn't talking about her future nice?
Yeah.
That would somehow be that the idea of making this commitment, because he's the one that talks about plans, but he really doesn't want to make a commitment. He's a slacker when it comes to stuff like that. So
he just wants to make a plan that fits what he wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and then, she watches and she sees another couple get engaged.
And he's like, check!
He's just like, cheering and singing happy birthday to this other lady. And she's just kind of like, what? And you just see like, the Dave being so thoughtful, like the way that he helps that little boy with the bear and just being really cute. And he leaves Alex leaves the art studio instead of talking about the art gallery, instead of talking about their relationship. He leaves because he's going to be the anchor.
And he didn't tell her. Ugh.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty bad. And and that's when she sees Dave on the wall. And so Dave doesn't believe in coincidences.
Yeah.
And she thinks you have to control everything, and that's when he helps her to overcome her fear of dogs, which is something I totally connect with, because once I know a dog, then I'm fine. But if it's an unfamiliar dog, I definitely share a certain degree of fear about it, and especially if they're like jumping on me or whatever. Yeah. And
I'm more concerned if like the owners don't have control over their dogs. Yeah.
And she just says,
pounds. If he's out of control, I just pick him up.
Yeah, and she says, it's a weird thing. Everyone has one. And that's so true. Yeah. That's very true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so she ends up getting this minivan that she has to drive before the shoot that they're doing. And it's exactly the minivan from the dream. Yeah. And then her friend needs her to come pick up her nieces because their car breaks down. So she goes, picks up the nieces, and then he calls and says, hey, could you give me a ride? And so she ends up in the car with him driving with three girls. And that
and it's basically a reenactment of what she sees at the eye doctor.
The little girl even puts on the monkey hat, which I think I would kick Alex to the curb just seeing Luke McFarlane in that monkey hat.
Be like, bye. See you later.
and so, because that's just super cute.
Yeah.
And then he gets her to hold a puppy. And so he overcomes her fear. And then the red-haired guy on the set, he says, when they're filming the shoot, he says, you're not going to argue about it? he says, what's going on with you two?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, and I did like his whole, because he's in a bunch, I forget the actor's name, he's in a bunch of Hallmark movies, and I don't know, his expressions were just really funny. We're just kind of like, what is happening here?
Yeah, great role for him.
And then she decides to bring in a different co-director.
That is the work friend that you are not friends with. That's the coworker you're like, no thanks.
Yeah, he's this misogynistic jerk.
Yeah.
And so she sort of realizes that how good she had it, I think.
Yeah.
But she's still nervous, and that's when Alex leaves to go to LA, and she says, I won't go to LA unless we're fully committed. Mm-hmm. And he's that's when he's admiring the photo of himself. It's then, which is really bad.
Bad.
Yeah, and then this is where we get this scene where first of all, they end up going to His Girl Friday together. They're both going to this vintage movie by chance, so you know they have shared common interests. And then he says, Dave says, did you give me this other director job so you could get rid of me? And she says, no, I did it for you. I thought it'd be a great opportunity. And he says, you did it for my future. The thing is, I always saw my future with you. And then he's like, ... professionally speaking, go back and forth. And he says, would it be okay if it was meant romantically? And she says, I can't answer that. Mm-hmm. And then he says, okay, well, that wasn't what I meant. And I thought that was a really good bit of dialogue there between them. And it was just the right amount of kind of awkwardness. And
yeah, he's just building flexible, rolling with the punches.
Well, it's just like, it does such a good job, this movie, I think, of just building that tension that you want in a romantic comedy. So that by the end, you're so satisfied when these two people that are such good people, that they get together.
Yeah. And Alex, bye.
Yeah. And so Then Alex wants her to redo his reel. And so, yeah, he's... The whole reel of his clips during the weather was awful. Hilarious. It was awful. I mean, it was awful, but it was in a funny way. Like,
oh, yeah, it was hilarious, but it was awful.
Yeah.
I could not even stand a second of him as a weather person. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the worst. And so then this is when she goes to the deli. And with her friend, and she ends up playing trivia with all the boys at work.
Mm-hmm.
And which, you know, is interesting because she is the only female really, aside from her friend who seems to be more in costuming.
I think there was like one other woman there.
But at this dinner, it's definitely a bit of a boys club.
Yeah.
But they say, hey, we would have invited you, but we didn't think it was fancy enough for you.
Yeah. Well, she's also kind of more of the boss-ish anyways, and sometimes there's a difference between, like, her and Dave are more on peer level than she is with the staff, so I can understand that, but yeah, like, they all think she's going to the most popular places in town and the art galleries, and it's because of Alex, and I think that's the status that he's looking for, and she's probably more comfortable, like, she even talked about doing karaoke but not with Alex. And I was like, and when she said that to Dave, I was actually bothered by that. She says, well, that's not something me and Dave do. And it's like, but if you like karaoke, you don't have to do it with your partner. You can go with your friends, right? Like, I was like, there's other options. But
there are a lot of people, though, who are really uncomfortable doing things alone. Like you and I, we've been single so long.
Yeah.
You're talking about a girl who's just turning 30 and has been in relationships. We don't know if there were other before, but you feel pretty confident that she's been in relationships most of the time. And so it takes some getting used to doing.
Well, but does she not have other friends?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Maybe I go to the movies by myself, and I mean, I'm not going to karaoke, but if I did, I'd go with friends.
Go to karaoke.
Well, I just was like, I felt like she was just saying, like, I can't do anything unless it's with Alex, and I wanted
I think that's true, but I think that is an insecurity that, it's funny because, I mean, I remember one of the very first blog pieces that I ever wrote when I was very first blogging was I went to the movies by myself, and I was like really proud of that, and it was like this big moment for me. And then now I do it all the time. Most of the time I'm at the movies by myself.
Yeah, most of the time I am too. My brother told me to go see movies by myself when I was in high school.
Yeah, but I think it kind of it feels like a hurdle until you do it and you realize, oh, it's not a hurdle at all.
Yeah.
But
I think there's some people who are against the, like, wouldn't even consider that. Whereas like I said, my brother was telling me to do that when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I needed to review a movie for the newspaper, and he was like, well, don't go with anyone, go by yourself.
Yeah.
He was like, okay, because I am single, I'm not going to wait for movies to come out. So I just go at like middle of the day showings, but there are people who would never do that. So I get it, just because I can do it doesn't mean other people can. And vice versa. So,
but I loved how she's like, "Who's Hot Wings McGee?" And then Luke McFarland like sticks his neck. He's at the bar, and you see him smiling, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, you're so cute! I love you."
Hot Wings McGee too.
And she's like, "Who? When did deep fried pickles become a thing?" And she's super excited. And so she has this great experience with them. And he says, I never thought I'd see you at a place like this. And they get super competitive over trivia.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you just seem really relaxed here.
Yeah.
And then her friend says, I like this Gwen. I like this version. Mm-hmm. And her friend seems to have it all figured out, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, they try to make him have a fear of eating street food, which I think was kind of lame, but whatever.
But everyone has their thing.
I guess. But they will just eat. And so then they come out of the restaurant and they get another pretzel. So that was interesting. And she doesn't want to eat it because of It's like,
yeah, I would eat bread, but I'm not like eating, I don't know, other stuff on the street carts. I'd be a little bit more nervous about like eggs or something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, bread. I love street food, but
yeah.
But yeah, you definitely have to kind of smell it and look at it. But yeah, so that's kind of his thing. And yeah. he asks her on a date. He says, he says, let's do trivia again. And she says, it's complicated. And he says, no, it's not. You just have to pick the right answer. Mm. And she says, I mean trivia. And he says, neither do I. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty good.
Because Alex is the worst.
And then you see her relighting the cookie, which I guess she didn't eat it all on that one, yeah. Which I probably would have. Yeah, I'd be like, I'll depress. Like,
did you get another one?
Yeah.
Where did that cookie come from?
But I don't look like Jesse Schramm, so that's probably why. and she makes a new wish. She says, I wish I knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're up at the big shoot with the minivan Dave shows up as the second director and he says to her, I realize I make you feel conflicted about your relationship with the local weatherman, but which is really good. And then you get a great moment where they both slip on the ice and you get that almost kiss a little bit, but the red haired guy shows up.
Always like, what is happening? Everything.
I know. And she has never had a s'more. And I think you get the idea that she never had a s'more because her dad died. She was never able to go camping. She was never able to do the things that...
It was like, you've never had a s'mores. It's chocolates, graham crackers, marshmallows. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. And then he gives her... a scarf. And it's the same scarf from the vision that she is wearing.
Coming true.
And it's his birthday this time. And... he says, I think you know what my wish is, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And then she finds out her mom has a new boyfriend. And she says, sometimes you can't get to where you need to go until you take a different path,
mm-hmm.
is what her mom says.
And what she means by that is have a different plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Alex's plan. Toss that out.
Yeah, and that's when Alex shows up and he says, hey, gonna be an actor.
Oh my god.
It's gonna be amazing.
Here's the thing, buddy, I saw your reel tape. No, you're not.
Yeah. And so then he proposes to her using like some, he's like, this isn't the real ring, but it was good enough.
It looked like a donut or something.
Yeah, it was weird.
Is it another mood ring? What is this? He has no taste. Yeah. Like, here he is. He wants all, like, the best things, but then...
Well, it was just bad taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it was just very, like, it wasn't thoughtful. It wasn't thoughtful of what she likes or what would interest her. It was very, like, well, this is the plan. We were supposed to go to L.A. together. And she's like, well, what if I want to make documentaries?
And you don't make money.
Yeah. And he's like... we're not going to, I mean, so this guy, he wants to become like the next, I don't know, like.
You're like, not going to be The Rock. Sorry.
Yeah, like Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell or something like that. Like, that's not, they're not going to be. Gotcha.
Well, no, I was thinking the action star. You're not going to be The Rock.
Yeah, sorry. They're not going to be the next Hollywood power couple. I just don't see that happening.
funny.
But. Anyway, so he puts the ring on her finger without her saying yes, and...
Sorry. I just had the image in my head where he goes to lean in to kiss her, and she puts her hand on his forehead, like...
Yeah.
And that was hilarious.
Dave sees that and thinks that she said yes, and...
Yeah, he wasn't there for the forehead stop.
I know. It's like, oh, if you just waited a little longer. And he even says that later. He's like, oh, I would have loved to have seen that. I should have waited.
Yeah, but it's like you have to witness everything or it's going to be out of context.
Yeah. And so then she breaks up with Alex.
Yes.
Yeah, finally.
Finally, the moment I've been waiting for. Breakup.
And he even says, oh, this is just a substitute ring. I don't know. It's crazy. And so she's just trying to contact Dave, trying to figure it out. And finally, she even goes to the theater and she thinks there's him, and it ends up being another guy who's like, I could be him.
that was funny.
And so he's at the park with all of these dogs, and she's like, puppies are one thing, these are like giant dogs.
He has a huge dog.
Yeah,
huge. I don't know what the breed was, but he was huge.
Yeah. and so she braced the dogs. I was very proud of her. And then she says, when I'm with you, I'm just me. And when I'm with you, I feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really cute ending. Yeah. I really liked it. And then they have an epilogue where he proposes at her next birthday. And it's just like this simple little birthday party with just her family and friends. Mm-hmm. And
she didn't expect the engagement to happen.
Right.
She wasn't digging through all the food. Like, right. She looked honestly surprised that, and like, I'm like, should that be how it is? I mean, I guess it's not whatever works for people, but obviously she had too much pressure on herself the year before. So right. I did like that epilogue.
Yeah. So I really like this movie. I think that they have such good chemistry. I think it builds so well. I really like the whole conceit of just seeing 10 years into your life. I think that it's cute and smart. And I think that even as annoying as maybe Alex can be, I think that Marcus Rosner does a good job with the role and makes it kind of over the top enough and funny enough that I enjoy it. He's kind of a funny bad guy. And
well, that's the thing is, I think, you know, he's done a good job when you dislike him so much.
Yeah. And I think it has something interesting to say about, you know, the control we want in our lives and being prepared for the unexpected in life. And I don't know, it has a nice message. It has really likable characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really well done. One of my favorites. And I mean, I don't know. I think this, if I'm looking at this in comparison to Hallmark movies, I think this is a 5-crowner for me. I just really love it. And I think this is about as good as Hallmark makes.
I'm going to go with, this is what I need to do before we record our next On Friendship, is I need to go back and figure what all my scores at were, because I haven't been recording them.
Yeah. Me either. Okay, don't worry.
I feel like I need to keep track so I can be like, you know, realistic about where it goes with all the other movies I've watched. This is one of my favorites that we've watched together. I would say, because I don't remember what I gave some other movies, I'll do a 4.75.
Very
and
good.
I like the idea of that we need not to have everything controlled, that we need to heal from our traumas or do our best to heal so that we can let go in some ways and be ourselves.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can forgive her for dating Alex for 3 years.
I hear you.
But so yeah, I like the whole concept though. Yeah. It's very different from the other movies you watched.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Yeah. Very good job, Julie. You did a wonderful job with the script. Woo-hoo. But let me read a couple comments that we got on Twitter about it. I asked her Twitter what they thought of this one. And just a lot of people saying, like Caroline says, one of my favorites. Tammy says, she says, one of Hallmark's best, in my opinion. Luke and Jesse had such great chemistry and the premise was so cute. Mm-hmm. Brian R. says, Luke, Jesse, puppy, what's not to love? Becky says, I love this movie, one of the few I own on DVD.
That's a strong statement right there.
Scott from Waiting in the Pumpkin Patch, she says, this is one of my favorites. You have the whimsy of seeing a glimpse of the future. You have the mystery of how the future will unfold. You have Marcus Rosner as the classic wrong guy. And you have friends that become something more while overcoming their fears. It's great.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. And like I said, there are a bunch of other people saying one of the best, liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It never turned it off when it's on. Make sure I record it whenever it's on.
Oh, that's cute. Like that.
So yeah, it's a favorite for sure.
Well, now that I've purchased it to watch for here, I'll always have it.
Yeah.
So I can watch it whenever I want and when I want to get mad at Alex.
Oh, yeah, this would be a really good. I'm sick, feeling a little down.
Yeah,
I just want a Lifetime. I mean, I just want to watch a cheesy Hallmark or Lifetime movie. This would be a perfect choice for that kind of mood, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really good.
100%.
Very good. Well, we will be excited to tackle something in February. We'll do an On Friendship for. Something probably Valentine's related. It'll be fun. We'll let you know what that's going to be. If you have any suggestions for On Friendship, let us know in the comment section or on Twitter. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And so thanks so much. At least it's always so much fun to talk about these silly movies with you. Yes. I really appreciate it.
Yes. And can I remind the listeners that the only movies that I've watched on Hallmark are the ones that I've watched with Rachel and, and ones that I might not recall with my mom. And so you can really, you'd be like, oh, they've already seen that. No, I haven't. So really let those suggestions fly.
So why don't you tell everybody where they can find your podcast and are you on social media and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, Best Forever's podcast is on all your favorite podcatchers and Best Forever's pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and I'm Dr. Elisa Lucas, 1S in Elisa, if you want to follow me on Twitter, and I post a lot about the TV and movies I'm watching as well. And by the time this comes out, I should have launched my webpage, and that's elisalucas.com, so you can come check that out.
Yeah, we'll have that all in the description section. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of her social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm doing a whole bunch of best of the year, worst of the year, all that kind of fun stuff. So definitely check that out over on my channel and podcast. And make sure you're following the podcast, The Hallmarkies Pod, The Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate that so much. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that as well. And we have our patron group that's so much fun. And then we also have our merch store with designs by Jessica Miller. So you should check that out. We have our I Survived a Countdown to Christmas 2019 shirts that are fun, our designs. So you should definitely check that out. And thanks again. Really appreciate it, Lisa. And
yes,
next month.
See y'all in February.